Oh, Father, I truly do thank you for those who came out tonight to sit at your table, to glean from your words, to eat fresh manna from heaven. And Father God, I'm asking your holy angels to walk to and fro and touch your people tonight. Father God, let the seed fall in fertile ground. Let your seed take root even tonight. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The other night, a couple weeks ago, I woke up and God was saying, leanness of bone and leanness of meat. Well, I thought, leanness of bone and leanness of meat. And so I researched, and there is such a thing, all right? So that's what I'm going to teach you on tonight, is preventing leanness of soul. The scripture says that God gave them their request, but sent leanness to their soul. And Numbers 11:31 says, then the Lord made a powerful wind to blow in from the sea, and it blew quail into the area all around the camp. There were so many birds that the ground was covered. They were about 3 feet deep on the ground. There were quail in every direction as far as a man could walk in one day. Now remember, the Israelites were complaining they had no meat. All right, well, God gave them the meat, didn't he? They went out and gathered quail all that day and all that night, and they gathered quail all the next day too. The smallest amount anyone gathered was 60 bushels. Then the people spread the quail meat all around the camp to dry in the sun. People began to eat the meat, but the Lord became very angry. While the meat was still in their mouths, before the people could finish eating it, the Lord caused the people to become very sick and die. I was saying that to my husband today, and I said, well, that God, you want to sin, God let you sin, and then Satan will come and kill you in the middle of your sin. That's what it's all about, right? Leanness of soul. All right, then Psalm 106:13 says, they soon forgot his works, talking about the Israelite children. They soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. But sent leanness into their soul. The word translated leanness is from a verse, R-A-Z-E-H, to make, and it means to make thin, to cause, to waste away, to destroy. Now, the radical idea is that of leanness, the radical idea is that of abrading or scraping, and hence it means to become lean, to waste away. And Isaiah 10:16 says, therefore the Lord of hosts, will send leanness among his fat ones, and under his glory he will kindle a burning like the burning of a fire. All right, the summary of all this is going to be, is your spiritual walk alive and vibrant, or would you your spiritual condition be better described as leanness of soul? The history of God's past is a record of continuous mercies, and the history of man's is one of the continuous sin. All right, let me say that again. Is your spiritual walk alive and vibrant, or would your spiritual condition be better described as leanness of soul? The history of God's past is a record of continuous mercies. The history of man's is one of continuous sin. So the keynote of Psalm 105 is, David's give this psalm, the keynote of Psalm 105 is, remember his mighty deeds, is what David said. But then David went into Psalm 106, and he said, they forgot his mighty deeds. Everybody in the sound of my voice has done the very same thing. So let's not get excited about the Israelite children, all right? Psalm 106 verse 13 says, they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, and that's what's going on in the body of Christ. That's why there's leanness of soul. But they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. The Amplified Bible verse says, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their souls and thinned their numbers by disease and death. God gave them what they wanted, but he was angry. He gave them more than what they wanted. Some translations say God sent a wasting disease Others, like the NASB, say leanness into their souls. Let's take a look at six bad habits that will tend to bring leanness of soul. You know, God's always right on time with everything. You know, you can't serve God, you know, half-heartedly. You have to serve God 100% with every fiber of your being, from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, and everything within and everything without, and everything round about. You can't be up one day with God and down the next. That God gets disgusted with that. He's either God or he's not God. He's either God or he's not God. It's just that simple. All right, let's take a look at six bad habits that will tend to bring leanness of soul. Number one, the lusting for carnal pleasures. Numbers 11, 5 through 6, we remember the fish, this is Israelite children speaking, we remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. They were even disgusted with the manna that God gave them. The church is the very same way. That's why God's had me teach its churches in the same predicament the Israelites were in. Yearning for Egypt, they wanted to go back to the leeks and the garlic. Isn't that what they said? Yearning for Egypt here speaks of coveting the things of this world, its bounty and fullness, its natural provision. All right? Yearning for Egypt here speaks of coveting the things of this world, its bounty and fullness, its natural provision. You're wanting to go back to where, from whence you came. You're still wanting to delve into the world, and that is not going to work. I was surprised about you. God said he's looking for people to be light bearers in this church. Come on. There's something not right. All right. But with it came leanness of soul. You know, they wanted to go back to leeks and garlics, but with it came leanness of soul. This adds insight to Jesus' warning in Mark 8:36, and that says, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? You can get everything you want in life and still you'll die and go to hell. Come on. Mark 4:18 says, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. You hear the word, but yet you still have all these desires running through your mind. And so these desires choke out the word, and you give in to what you hear in your mind. That's what it all amounts to. Luke 8:14, a parallel Bible says, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. There's very few mature Christians sitting in the house of God today. There's very few Christians who have yielded herself to God and who have turned their back on the things of this world and are looking for nothing except Jesus Christ. What does the Word of God say? Very few is going to enter into that narrow gate. Very few. All right, number two, leanness of soul can be induced by dwelling on life's worries. This is a tendency we all struggle with, and we must work to overcome an inclination to worrying and fretting about some of the pressures and issues of daily life. We can't do that anymore. God will work with you in the ongoing process of shaking off this unproductive habit of worrying. Worrying is saying you don't trust God. Worrying is saying that your worry is greater than God is. And your circumstance you're worrying about is greater than God. You can't do that. All right, now number three is leanness of soul. These are six things that will take you into being leanness of soul. Leanness of soul can develop as a result of becoming preoccupied with the deceitfulness of wealth. Remember the example of Israel in the wilderness. God gave them their request for carnal things, but sent leanness into their souls. God will give you, let you have what you want. He will go ahead and turn his back and let Satan let you have what you want. Let Satan have you. And then you're going to suffer the consequences. You can't blame God for that. Over the years, I have watched too many Christians who have focused on the pursuit of wealth and possessions while their spiritual lives declined into leanness. If you look at some of the big churches out there, what's happening is they got so caught up on wealth and riches that after a bit they got into sin. They started doing things that were not right, and now they've lost what their ministries that God had given them because they always were focused on wealth and not on their own souls and making sure that they're right before God at all times. Remember, you will often get what you pursue. You often get what you pursue. But if you are pursuing the wrong things, you are on the fast track of soul dryness or dry bones. See that? If you are pursuing the wrong things, you're on the fast track of soul dryness or dry bones. You know, I have told you over, God has me, every service we've been starting, God is saying, we have to fight. We're in a terrible battle. And the day I think I read 4 articles alone, everybody said, you have to fight. The battle's really hard. The darkness is all around about you. You have to fight. But still people aren't fighting. They're still giving in to the cares of this world. They're still giving in to their flesh, into their old things, lust things they used to do. And we have to get out of that. I'm hearing God say it's a web. You have to destroy the web, and you stay out of it. And don't let the web form ever again. All right, number 4 is leanness of soul can subtly develop in a person who loses sight of the things of God. We've all been there. Lose sight of the things of God and begins indulging in the desires for other things. The more complex our lives get by the addition of other things, the more we get spread thin in the things of the Lord. And what is a predictable result? Busyness of body and mind, but leanness of soul. We have to make sure we give God his time. Well, you know, I'm constantly working for God. I'm doing this and that and the other, blah, blah, blah. But are you taking personal time to set before the Lord and just talk to him? Not writing a book. You know, not writing a sermon, not doing things like that, but just sitting in front of God and giving him personal time. We have to do that, or we're going to have leanness of soul. Amos 8:11, the days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. We're in that famine. People are not wanting to hear the true word of the Lord. They want their ears tickled. And this is why so many people are. Did you read the article where a baby was born in Canada and they did not put a sex on the birth certificate? Now, what, you know, this world is coming to is terrible. I just think what's going on in this world is absolutely positively terrible. Did you see the new design for men for this year? That blew my mind. You know? Dresses. I forget all it was, but it was a mess. High heels. Their legs showing, right? The fancy little frills around the bottom of that little one thing they had on. That's what's coming for this year for men. All right, number 5, a spiritual famine, a leanness not of body but of soul. How does this leanness come? By our failure to hear and feed upon the words of the Lord. We don't hear the word and we don't feed upon the word of the Lord, and soon you have leanness of soul. Hence the importance of personal Bible reading. Also the importance of attending a church where the Word of God is preached. People say, well, I can sit home and I can watch the preaching on TV and I get just as much out of that as I do if I come into the house of God. The Word of God tells us to do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You draw strength from one another. But there are some churches you just might as well sit home and watch TV. Amen. But I can guarantee you, after a fashion, you won't be watching preaching anymore. You'll be watching Gunsmoke or something like that. Amen. Come on. Jeremiah 17:5-6. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. You see that? They're cursed. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. Might as well be dead. Psalm 63:1. O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my body longs for you, in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I wish that was true, the entire body of Christ, don't you? Don't you wish that we really would thirst for God? Don't you wish we really long for the deep things of God? And we wouldn't be constantly thinking about all my kids, or all my job, or all my aches and my pains, that you would really be talking to God and seeking the deep things of God. Right? Come on. God told me, leanness of bone, leanness of meat. If you don't get yourself into the Word of God, there's not going to be any meat for you to have. There's not going to be any substance to you, and you're not going to be able to minister to other people. That's what the leanness of meat is all about. Now, the sixth thing is soul leanness. A spiritual dryness within comes to a man or woman who stops seeking God. It is vitally important to our spiritual life that we devote daily time and effort to seeking God in prayer, in personal worship, and in His Word. Without this spiritual diligence towards the Lord, we can end up running on our own steam. Come on. And that is what's happening in the body of Christ. Too many people think they're anointed and they're really not. They're walking in charisma, their own steam. And nothing's happening around about you because you are not walking in the Spirit, but you're walking in your own flesh. Come on. Numbers 11:31. Now a wind went out from the, I know we read this beginning, but I'll read it again. Now the wind went out from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea and left them fluttering near the camp, about a day's journey on this side and about a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp and about 2 cubits above the surface of the ground. And the people stayed up all that day, all night, and all the next day, and gathered the quail. He who gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. And he gave them the request by sending great quantities of quails. But then he sent leanness of their soul. The word translated leanness is from a verb, R-A-Z-E-H, to make thin, to cause to waste away, to destroy. This radical idea is that of abrading or scraping, and hence it means to become lean and to waste away. I said this again because I want you to understand you cannot continue on the path that you're on. God is going to give you desires of your heart, but you're not going to like the consequences of the desires. If you don't follow God with all of your heart, you're going to be one sorry person. I look at people around about me and I'm wondering, how in the world do they exist? They don't follow God. Even though they know God, they don't follow God. And I'm watching, they're in utter torment. There's darkness all around about them. They don't have any answers because they don't ever go to God and ask what's going on. How do you live? How do you survive in an atmosphere like that? Cold, dark. Everybody in here probably knows people like that, don't you? You probably watch them every day. If you don't, thank God you don't. Thank God everybody around about you is all full of God, and they're light, 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 you know, and they're happy, 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 and they agree with everything you say. Thank God for that. Thank God you're not being come against. All right, it means here that the effect of all this on their souls was similar to the effect on the body when it wastes away by disease or want of food. All right, it means here that what we just read again means here that the effect of all this on their souls was similar to the effect on the body when it wastes away by disease or want of food. After David talks about God's mighty power in Psalms 105, he goes to Psalms 106 and he draws out the long sad story of Israel's faithlessness. One is a lusting for flesh food, an evil trace to forgetfulness of God's doings, to which is added impatient unwillingness to wait the unfolding of God's counsel or plan. The memory of benefits was transient. They hasted, they forgot his works. There isn't one of us, well, guys, the very same thing can be said about the body of Christ today. We remember pain and sorrow longer than joy and pleasure. I don't hear you. I don't hear anybody just keep talking about, oh, the joy, the joy, the joy, and all the great, wonderful things out. But I sure hear an awful lot of complaining about all the bad things that are going on. So we remember pain and sorrow longer than joy and pleasure. It is always difficult to bridle desires and be still until God discloses his purposes. We all know that. We've all been in the impatient lane, where God has spoken over our life, telling us all the wonderful things he's going to do with us. And years go by, you know, and months go by, and you think, God, when are you ever going to do this? That's impatience. We have to be patient and wait on the Lord. We are all apt to try to force his hand open and to impose our wishes on him rather than to let his will mold us. Amen. God told me about 35 years ago what I was going to be doing. And he said, you're still not doing it, but he said, you're going to start doing it. So I've been waiting all these years to do the wonderful things God said I was going to be doing. So you've been waiting a year, little twit, and you're complaining. Just thank God it hasn't been 35 years of patience. All right? See, this is really the great thing about, I'm just wonderful and great that y'all can do this. You won't have to wait around 35 years because we've already paved the way for you. And now you'll just jump in there and God's going to use you to do the great and mighty works that he wants you to do. You can't wait 35 years any longer. There's too much work to be done. But we've paved the way. We built that road for you to come on, and now you guys can come on and do the things God's calling you forth to do. And it really makes me upset, sad, I should say, whenever I see you young people who God has greatly anointed, and you get so upset because he just doesn't do it, boom, just like that. You haven't paid a price for nothing. You're a bunch of spoiled brats. That's why you was in the world and did all the things of the world, because you want instant gratification. And God's not going to, does never give you instant gratification. He doesn't do that. He builds character in you. He molds you, then remolds you, and then remolds you again. And he makes you the piece of clay he wants you to be. Amen. And this is what he's trying to do. He's doing it fastly, though, and some of you can't quite take that pace of fastness, you know, but he has to work fast to get you to where he needs you to be, because we have a works to do. All right, in Numbers 11:33, it tells us God smote the people with a very great plague. He gave them their quail and then smote them with a plague. The psalm specifies more practically the nature of the stroke by calling it leanness or wasting sickness, which invaded the life of the sinners, because they were all sinners out there. Desire and its gratifications. The word gives us examples of men who have followed this path of destruction, which is forgetfulness and impatience. He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Now, if we are like the Israelites, and we are, I wouldn't be teaching this. If we forget all that God has done for the promotion of our happiness, God says, never forget from whence you came. Never forget what I've done to you, right, for you. All that he has done to fit us for a higher state of being. If we will not wait for his counsel, wait for a time when we shall no longer see his dealings dimly reflected to us in an imperfect mirror, but clear before us in the pure atmosphere of heaven. And this is why I said that. In 1 Corinthians 13:12, it says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. See, right now you don't understand everything God's doing for you. And your whole problem is you want to know. That's my whole problem, too. You know, we want to know the whole story. And God said, I can't do that. It's line upon line and precept upon precept. Your faith is being tried and tested. Your faithfulness is being tried and tested. Are you understanding this tonight? Come on. And some of you don't have what you're supposed to have now because you went back into the world too many times. Hello. You backslid on God. Then you boo-hooed and cried, carried on like a fool, and then he brought you back. I'm so sorry, God. You ought to be God, glad you have a God of grace. Come on. I'm glad I do. Come on. And if instead of patiently bearing with the conditions of our sojourner life here, you know, we are sojourners in this world. That's what God told me years ago. So if instead of patiently bearing with the conditions of our sojourner life here on this earth, we murmur because we cannot have all our wishes gratified, And we are dissatisfied with the restraints under which we may be placed. Is it incredible that God should punish us by giving us leanness of soul and as he did them, by granting us the things which we have set our hearts on? Hey, if he did it for them, he's going to do it for you. He's going to kill you. Amen? Because I think I wrote the scripture down. I hope I did it, because that's what it says. He killed them. All right. God recognizes and respects at all times his gift to man of free will. He will never go against your free will. He won't. For example, God does not force grace upon the soul. God only reveals himself to those who seek him. He points out to us the right way. He says, walk in this way, he says, and it shall be your glory and your joy. But he does not say, walk in it, you shall and you must. He doesn't say that. He gives you the option to walk in it or not. And in like manner, if God sees that our hearts are set upon something which we have said we must have at all costs, he says, you shall have it, but the consequences of your choice will be upon your own head. Come on. I want my child freed right now. You're going to do it. All right, he'll free that child right now, and that child will be even worse off than were before he freed him, because he knows what he has to do to bring him to the place that he needs him to be. Amen. There is much insight and teaching in the old fable of Midas, king of Phrygia, who prayed that everything he touched might turn to gold. But his wish, when it was granted, proved fatal, for his very food turned into gold also, and soon he was starving. Boy, I sure would like to have my neighbor's wife. Go ahead, take her. But you're going to die after you get her. You see what I'm saying? You see what God's saying here? I sure would like to have that big mansion down the road. It says, this little puny little house I live in. God will give you that big mansion, but with that big mansion, you're going to die spiritually. We have to wait and be patient before the Lord. We have to allow God to lead, guide, and direct our footsteps. And like I said before, he's not going to go against your free will. He just is not. All right, there's a German folk story of a very poor charcoal burner who had a kind heart and was always doing good turns to people. He often wished that he were rich, that he might help still more. One day in the forest, a wicked-looking gnome appeared and told him he would make him rich on one condition. He must exchange, see, Satan always has a condition. He must exchange his heart of flesh for a wonderful mechanical stone heart that the gnome had made and kept in his workshop in a cave underneath the forest. The poor man did not like the condition, but was tempted and consented to the bargain. He was cast into a deep sleep, and when he awoke, the exchange had been effected, and he felt the stone heart working within him with perfect regularity, but it was cold, very cold. When he got back to the village, everybody noticed the change. He was harsh, overbearing, a changed man. Riches came to him. Everything he touched turned to gold. But the richer he grew, the colder seemed the heart, and when old age crept upon him, he longed to be poor again and have back his warm human heart. That is a modern day way of saying that the man got his request, but leanness came to his soul. He will fulfill, the Bible says that he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, and he will give thee thine heart's desire. That's all scripture. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, and he will give thee thine heart's desire. The human heart desires happiness and at the same time righteousness. Seek righteousness and avoid leanness of soul. I didn't write that scripture down where one scripture said that God actually killed the people with had the food in their mouth, and he actually killed them. Now, what God is asking you tonight, what do you want out of him? What do you really want out of the Father? Do you want the riches of heaven? Or do you want your desires fulfilled? And God told me today, as I was sitting before him, that many who are in bad habits So they can't quit them. He said, yes, they can. They just like the bad habit. That's bringing leanness to your soul. And this is why God is talking about this. These things that you keep holding on to, I can't. And you know, just like my granddaughter who is dying, you know, she has that liver problem. I really believe she would go back to drinking if she knew she wouldn't die. Because of different things she says. And I'm thinking to myself, how could you possibly sit there and talk like this when you're dying and God's grace is what's keeping you alive? Because they told her, yours is so bad you could die any second. You keep sitting in a chair talking and drop over dead. But yet you're still talking about how many days free you have, and you still, you know, say, well, you know, I wish I wouldn't look at that liquor store and stuff like that. Come on. This is desiring the things of the flesh. This is going back to your past. And you can't do that anymore. God is saying that the body of Christ has leanness of soul. And you know, we've been saying for a long time, people are going to start dropping dead in churches. This could be just like whenever they wanted the quail. He gave them the quail, but while they were still eating it, he killed them. He thinned out their numbers. Now, I really think that when I read that, I thought, God, that's not fair. But you know, we can't say that. God is fair, right? And he's just. He had given them manna, which was good for them. And they fussed about the manna. They fussed about everything God did for them. And the body of Christ is the very same way. We fuss about everything God does for us. And then we expect him to just stand there and smile and say, what would you like me to give you, son? I'd like to give you a slap in the face. Amen? Come on. I mean, you take God so for granted. I'm going to walk. That's what you do, human beings. I'm going to walk all over you. I'm going to treat you like a piece of dirt. But don't you dare get upset with me. Don't you dare not forgive me. Well, we have to forgive. But you know what I'm saying? I just want you to act like nothing ever happened. Well, I'm sorry, but we can't forget that anything ever happened. And we do have to forgive. And we were taught about that. But that thing, if you don't get it totally out of you, will plague you for the rest of your life. And what happens is, even though you get rid of it, whenever you're prospering in the Lord, the enemy will start bringing thoughts about that thing back into your mind. And you'll think, well, I forgot all about that. And you did. You forgave and forgot. But now the enemy wants to bring you back into that torture chamber. He wants to bring you back into that place of remembering where then you'll get your mind off the things of God and you'll start remembering all the hurt and the pain and the rejection all over again. And then you'll have leanness of soul and you'll never have what God has promised you. All right. You know, it's like God told me, daughter, I have it all set up for the great revival. I'm waiting on you. And I'm saying, okay, God, what am I not doing? So that's my project for tonight. Find out what I'm not doing that God's waiting on me so he can bring the great revival. So what about you? You know, the revival starts in you. So why aren't you carrying revival? You know, this is something you have to ask yourself. Why am I not carrying revival? Why isn't it when I walk down the street, people are healed or slain in the spirit? Why is it whenever I shake somebody's hand, it's just like shaking anybody's hand? They you know, you don't have no power to release into somebody. What is it in me, Lord, that the anointing is not in there as strong as it should be? That's the questions you should be asking. I mean, I know I have the anointing. I know all that's there, but I'm still not doing something I'm supposed to be doing. And so I've got to find out what it is, or I'm going to end up with what? Leanness of soul. I'm going to miss out on the things that God would have me to do. What is it in you that God's trying to change and you're not letting go of so he can change you? I can guarantee you that as you seek God's face and really want to hear the truth, that he will speak to you about it. Sister Nancy wrote, she said, I just thought I'd do what you do. Sit down and say, Father, then ask him a question. She did it and he answered her. It's just that simple. Wasn't that simple? If you have a question, just sit down and ask him. But don't put your thoughts into it. Let God speak to you. Let him tell you what it's all about. God is not complicated. He's very simple. That's a problem. He's a simple. People try to make him complicated and not, because after all, you know, I've been to college and it has to be complicated so I can figure it out. Right? No, it doesn't. God is not a complicated God. Tonight, what God wants to do is If you know you're on that track of leanness of soul, he wants to get you off of that track. He wants to place an anointing upon you where you'll be able to be turned around by him and get on the right track again. And he also told me leanness of soul, leanness of bone, leanness of meat. Then he also told me fatness of bone, fatness of meat. So I'm going to teach on fatness of meat the next time. So, you know, so you can have, you can reverse and not have leanness of soul, and you can get to the fatness of meat. So anybody that really wants to, you know that you're on a path that you shouldn't be on. God wants to give you an anointing to turn you around, and you get on the right path where you'll have fatness of bone and fatness of meat tonight. Amen. Aren't you sick and tired of people being upset with you just because you don't talk to them? I am. That happened to me tonight. Just because I didn't talk to somebody, they got upset with me. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? This is where the leanness of soul. That's why you do it. Leanness of soul. Leanness of soul. You get so bent out of shape just because somebody doesn't look at you just right. You get bent out of shape because they don't give you the time you think you deserve. That's not God. That's not God. So why don't we just be what God's called us to be, true children of God, peacemakers, a hospital that heals and not cripples. And if you come up here tonight, God will touch you. And I'm going to tell you right now, you will turn around, because God's anointing, he said his anointing will be here tonight for this, because he wants his people ready for this great revival that he's getting ready to drop across the land.